Welcome to the Live Wealthy Podcast with Dawn, where we are growing our wealth and our worth at the same time. You ready? Let's go. Well, welcome to the Live Wealthy Show with Dawn, where we teach entrepreneurs how to get more out of their money through maximizing their income, their investments, minimizing their debt and taxes, and being able to arrive at their own unique version of enough. And today we have Mr. Bennett Maxwell, who is the founder and president and owner of Dirty Dough. Bennett, it's a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So you ready to get dirty?
Yes, always.
Ready to get dirty. I'm ready to get sweet and dirty with you. So what's exciting is this podcast, this show is really about the journey of an entrepreneur. And you and I were connected. I mean, we just met. We were connected by the goddaddy of all connectors, Mr. Randy Garn. And I believe he connects people for a reason. Like, he's just not out there saying you need to meet this person and meet that person. So what I really want to talk to you about today is just having a real conversation about who you are, your journey to your vision of what you're doing with a dirty dough. And I'm hoping you'll share some dirty dough with me in this episode. And we want to also learn about how you arrived at enough, not enough dirty dough, but how you've arrived at enough as a human being. So tell us a little bit, first of all, from a personal perspective on who Bennett Maxwell is.
Yes, I have a few crazy kids running around somewhere over there. I have a 6, 4, and 2-year-old. So they take up a lot of time. Two daughters and a son. Married to an amazing wife for 8 years now. We live in Utah. Growing up, part of a big family, one of 9 kids raised in this, but with an amazing single mom here in Utah, and played a lot of sports. And I've always kind of been in that entrepreneur mindset and the sales. So I'm used to getting my butt kicked all the time, I think.
Right? Because being an entrepreneur is a very different beast than trying to do, and even to being a franchise owner, to doing all of the things. The journey to being an entrepreneur is really, really difficult. And it's very rewarding, but it is difficult. So my first question, and thank you, by the way, for sharing, like, you have 2 girls. I raised 2 girls. They're now, I'm an empty nester. You're probably already broke, and you're going to get even more broke by raising those girls. Yeah. Cause girls are very expensive. But my question to you is, first of all, did you go to college did you take an entrepreneurial class or go to college, or what was your schooling like to be able to be where you're at today?
Yeah. Just selling stuff. And I went to college for a little bit. I was doing pre-med. I was majoring in Spanish just because that was the easier way out. So I could focus on the medical classes. I dropped out with just a semester left because I got into sales. And I guess even before that, like, I was selling candy bars in elementary school and shaved ice on the corner and the lemonade stands and going door to door selling lawn aeration. I sold Cutco knives in high school, things like that. And then I started doing door-to-door sales. I did pest control and alarms and security and satellite and solar. So, yeah, kind of just figuring it out as I go. And I just like talking with people, really diving in, figuring out what their problems are and trying to solve that. So that sales mentality and all those, pretty much all the sales jobs, all of them, it was all just commission-based, you know? So even though you're working for another company, it is like, you eat what you kill, so you have to be effective with your time. And I don't know, I felt like it was a really good segue into entrepreneurship.
Interesting. A segue into entrepreneurship, but going from sales to being the owner and CEO of a company is very different than just selling, as you know.
Yes.
So how many years, like, when did you open up Dirty Dough?
So I actually bought the company almost 3 years ago now. So it was an existing company. Kind of the quick story is it started 5 years ago, the company did, with a buddy of mine that I went to high school with. I grew up in Utah. He was in Arizona. After high school, he moved down there, going to college, and he started selling cookies out of his apartment. And then he posts on Facebook that he was looking for an investor to open up the first storefront. So I invested. He opened up the first storefront in March of 2020 in Tempe, Arizona. And then by the end of that year, I was like, dude, let's franchise this. I'm going to be your first franchisee. I was living in San Diego. I had a solar company at the time. And I'm like, this is a great market. Let's do it. And then he said, you know, I just want to sell completely. Like, I don't like this. So I bought it from him in January of 21. And then, and since then we've redone everything other than the name, the logos, the colors, the recipes, the entire business model. And we transitioned it from you make everything at a per store location using, you know, mixing 60 cookies at a time to a big factory and then weighing everything by hand to a factory that we mix 4,000 cookies at a time and machine portion it and do stuffed cookies and 3-layer cookies. And then we ship that to the stores. And then and then obviously franchise it as well. And then we ship it to the stores and they just pop it in the oven. So really going for the simplicity for our franchisees, and that's kind of, I kind of recreated it, but yeah, it was, that's how I got into it.
Okay. So you bought in 2021, and how many stores are there now?
We have 42, I think.
Whoa. Okay. That's some significant growth during a pandemic.
Yeah. And beginning of this year, even in March, I think March we had 7 stores. So it took a year to kind of set everything up. And then we franchised in December of 21. And then our first store was 16 months ago in June of last year. That was when our first store opened. And then it's just been, we're opening up 1, 2, sometimes 3 stores a week now. So it's getting a little crazy.
It is crazy, but crazy fun, right?
Yes.
So, okay. So very different opening up stores and changing the whole business model is very different than sales. What has been over the last 3 years, like your biggest, like, I didn't realize this. Like, has there been anything like, this is way harder than I thought or way easier? Like what, give me one or two of your biggest ahas that you've experienced.
Like most entrepreneurs are like we underestimate all the work. It's like, everything's so easy. So let's just go try to go do it, you know? And then it's like, oh wait, this is way harder and way longer than what we thought. Now we are growing a lot quicker than what I ever imagined. I remember looking at an email about 2 years ago and it said I was putting together an advisory board to try to get some, you know, people that actually knew what they're doing to help me out. And one of the emails said, our plan is to open up 30 stores in the next 5 years. So yeah. And then it happened a lot. But with that comes a lot of, you know, different growing pains and growth. Anyway, so that kind of an aha moment there was, if I got the right people on board, whether they're advisors, and I know you introduced me as a CEO, and I actually hired a CEO right when we started franchising. So about 2 years ago, that's been in the business for 40 years. So just getting people, and she had a company that she opened up 650 franchises before she sold it. So, and the CEO, former CEO of Jimmy John's and things like that, they helped really expand my vision of what's possible and also helping me do it. So that's been huge for me, just surrounding myself by the right people.
Okay. So how are you finding these people to help you scale and grow?
I just talk with everybody. So
you're selling skills, your sales skills.
Yes. It's the Cutco referral skills, because it was all referral based. That's, you know, you talk to somebody, who do you know? And then you talk to them, and who do you know that can help me do X, Y, Z?
Okay. Were you spending a lot of time at different marketing events or networking events, or was it just, okay, so you were doing that and then combination of telling your story?
Yep. Social media, podcasts, news interviews. Just trying to get out there any way I can.
So if any of our listeners or watchers want to open up their own franchise, they could also connect with me and you and talk to you about that, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So what is the vision for your company over the next 3 years?
Yeah. it changes every week, I think. Kind of going back, not like, you know, amount of stores sold and things like that. When I'd sold a solar company just over 2 years ago, when I jumped into Dirty Dough full time, and selling the solar company, I hit some financial goals that I had set. And it was, I'm going to take my foot off the gas when I have XYZ, when I have these rental properties and residual income and the money in the bank and this and that. And I was just work, nights, weekends. I got up to 310 pounds. Like I was just working so much. And then I sold the solar company and it felt amazing. But within a week or two, I noticed I was like working again, like all the time. So that, anyway, I call it my midlife crisis at age 28. It allowed me to kind of do some soul searching, like what am I actually after and what I want to do? And I guess narrowed it down to joy, fulfillment. You know, you want to be happy, not just happy, but you want to be fulfilled and feel like you're progressing. So I made that into the mission statement, and I threw, you know, because dirty dough, it's to find joy and fulfillment despite life's dirtiness. So don't wait for life to be perfect in order to find the joy and fulfillment. So that's what that's the goal and what I'm trying to do through Dirty Dough. Dirty Dough is, you know, adapted my personal mission statement. And then I've kind of built that two pillars on how to achieve that. One is mental health, you know, joy and fulfillment. A lot of it is your mental health, your mindset, whatever you want to call it. So we have a nonprofit that we do that we're trying to open up one mental health wellness center in a K-12 school per franchise we open. And then the second one is something that's given me a lot of joy and fulfillment, and it's entrepreneurship. So how do you empower other people to be entrepreneurs? And it's give them a really good, simple business model. And that's what we're trying to create.
Nice. You know, I believe that, you know, I help people build their financial plan and their wealth. We manage their wealth. We do their taxes. We do everything related to the financial dollar. And what I've realized is that I have educated my clients to really align who they are to their money. And when you really know yourself, like, you know, you knew you loved sales, mm-hmm. right? You know, you like to be with people and to network and all of those things. But that doesn't go away. Like, your strengths, I don't know if you've ever taken the Strengths Finder, but your strengths are your strengths. And it doesn't matter at 28, your midlife crisis, like, you could go through that and have, you know, reach your financial goals. But at the same token too, you still have this purpose to use your strengths to go to that next level. And so what you're saying, whether it takes 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years, this foundation you want to create to help this mental wellness, to help other kids be entrepreneurs, I mean, that's a beautiful gift that you can give back to society, even when you are being taken care of financially and you're growing and you continue to grow at rapid speeds, but you're willing to take that that gift, if you will, and pay it forward to help other people and help the younger generation, maybe help your kids. Teach those girls to be entrepreneurs too. Like, come on, like, right?
Yep.
We got to teach the girls too how to be wealthy. So I think that's a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
And I do believe we have these skills and we keep sharpening our skills. And when they're in alignment with our strengths, you have that woo. Have you taken a Strengths Finder ever?
I haven't, but I'm going to have to do it right after this.
You should. I teach everyone to take the $20 one. It's your top five strengths. And you will find that your number one is woo. And you'll have to text me or email me or something, but you're a woo. It's winning people over because you love sales. And I love sales too. I love helping people and realize the same story. Like, yeah, I was financially successful at a young age, but that doesn't take away my personality and what I want to do with those skills, right? And so you want to continue to grow and grow and grow. So I kind of alluded to this earlier, but like, so you talked a little bit about the surprises that you've had and, you know, some of the, it's, we always think it's hard as an entrepreneur, but it's 10 times harder than what we've ever dreamt.
Yep.
And I get that. What has been the number one hardest thing in growing franchises at this rapid pace?
There's so much going on to figure out where I'm going to focus my time, because it's like, well, we've raised outside capital and that takes a lot. And then there's all the legal, and we were in a big lawsuit, and then you're selling franchises. And then aside from selling franchises and opening stores, we produce all of the cookies for them. So now we're a food manufacturing company, and then we do the logistics to get it to them. So now we're the logistics company. We have to figure it all out in 2 years. So finding all of the, out of all the things that we're trying to do, and at the same time, where do I spend my time and what's the most effective? And I'm constantly battling with where is the most valuable thing that I should be doing with my time.
Take the Strengths Finder. It'll tell you exactly how you should be spending your time, for sure. And then you build around that, because you can't, when you try to do everything, you get nothing done, right?
Yep.
We all know that. So, okay. So it's, being pulled in 5,000 different directions.
It's the shiny object, ADHD, entrepreneur syndrome.
We all have
you know?
It, yeah. Uh-huh. So it's, okay.
Wait, I could do that too. Well, you know, we're selling packaging to our franchisees and that let me do it for other companies. And then we're a flower broker so we can get our pricing down. And then, and it's like, and then it's like, no, stop. You know, so that's where advisors and a really good CEO is just like, dude, stop. Focus in.
Focus.
And that's what I need.
Yep. Go deep and narrow in your own lane, in your lane of your strengths. Do you have any, like from my perspective, from my entrepreneurial journey, I've been an entrepreneur for 20 some years. Being a franchise financial advisor was easy in comparison to trying to scale and grow this other side of the business. With this other side of the business, like I was helping millionaires become multimillionaires and sitting one-on-one with clients. And then I realized who really needs my help even more are the non-millionaires. And they're not making the best financial decisions. They're not making good tax decisions. They're not making investment decisions. They're not making good decisions with their time. So I said, I'm going to go out and create this platform where we can serve more people that aren't millionaires and create more millionaires in the United States. And so that has been my goal and my vision and my mission. But the hardest thing for me in growing this has really been like the audience attraction. Like, how do you get in front of more people, which is marketing?
Yep.
Like, I have the woo skill. I know how to serve and sell, but it's been the marketing. Is that the same? I mean, do you have any marketing issues or concerns in your, or even the competition in your industry? Or is it like the cookies are so damn good that we don't have a marketing issue? We just have all the logistic issues.
No, marketing is always an issue. You know, how do you...
Okay.
I mean, because you always want higher average unit sales for all of your franchises because they make money, then you make money, and then you sell more franchises. I love talking to people one-on-one. That's why I've liked raising capital. Like, here's the story. This is what we're doing. You could be a part of it. Or franchise sales, the one-on-one. And then the marketing or internet market, that's kind of to the masses, and it needs to be different and tailored different. And yeah, it's a world that I don't know enough of. We have a, I think we have a really good marketing company working on that. But I do think that they are very separate, and I wish I knew more of that kind of mass marketing. But no, 100%, we need to always increase our marketing.
Yeah. You know, I have outsourced the marketing and then had it in-house. But when things started turning around for me over the last year is when I owned the marketing. So as a precaution, like... I almost feel like this, like you're not the CEO anymore, but you gotta have your hands in the marketing. Cause if you don't have the eyeballs, you don't have the peeps, even being aware of the dirty dough, then you don't have a business.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
And so it's all about that awareness. So with that awareness, who's your biggest competitor?
Crumble is definitely our biggest competitor. Crumble Cookies.
And that's what I was going to say, because they are like, I'm in Arizona. I'm in Scottsdale. There's a Crumble close to me. I don't know if there's dirty dough in this. There, I mean, you said Tempe.
Yeah. And then there's one in Scottsdale, but it, you know, it opened up this year. There's one in Desert Ridge, kind of Northern Phoenix. Same thing opened up this year. They're all new stores.
Okay. So I'm going
to
go
open up there.
Yes, because I love myself a Crumble, but I'm going to really love myself a dirty dough. And so I want to be able to like know that you're here, right? So I can go test them out. I'm not even a cookie lover. I don't even like cookies. I'm telling you, I love Crumble, and what I hear about the recipe that you guys have going on, I'm going to even love it even more from someone who doesn't even love sweets, but it's that right mix. So I'm super excited to have you in this area. And like you said, it's growing, and Crumble was probably here way before you were. And there's room for a lot more. Trust me, Crumble's like 30 minutes away. So there's a lot of, I think you could tell me, but I would think there's a lot of opportunity for you to continue to expand and grow, franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only, you look at how many hamburger companies or pizza companies or, or I mean, even other cookie companies. Crumble's really popularizing this large gourmet multi-flavored cookie company and, or concept, And other than, you know, they're at like 900 stores, we're at 42. And then everybody else, I mean, we're already in second place only with 42 stores. So we got some catching up to do, but we've sold just under 400 franchises, you know, in under 2 years. So it's going, it's speeding up. And, but yeah, plenty of space in the market for more than one company.
So if Crumbl's your biggest competitor, just from volume perspective too, what is your unique selling proposition? What is the, what differentiates you from Crumbl? What differentiates Dirty Dough?
Yeah. So I look at it, my customer is really the franchisee, not the customer buying the cookie, because that's who I need to take care of. That's who, if they are successful, then I'm successful. Now, part of that is making sure that people are, you know, buying the cookie. So the differentiator primarily to the franchisee is we have a much more simple model. You can open up a Dirty Dough franchise for half to maybe a third of the cost as a Crumbl. And because we do all of the dough production ourselves, the franchisees don't have to worry about that. They don't have to buy all the machines. They don't have to hire teenagers. They don't have to weigh things by hand. So it's just a much more labor friendly model. And then as far as the consumer goes, we do, because these are machine portion, we could do 3-layer cookies, which goes right along kind of that first pillar. I was talking about the mental health pillar. So we, looking at kind of the mental health crisis, what most people attribute that to is social media, particularly expectations versus realities. Social media has raised what we think the expectations of our life should be. You know, everything has to look perfect and be traveling all the time. But the reality is, you know, we live imperfect lives, and that distance between what we expect and where we're at is creating that anxiety, depression, sadness. So you look at a Crumbl product, in my opinion, it's a plain cookie with all sorts of frosting on top of it, and it has to look perfect. So we've gone the complete opposite. We don't do frostings on our cookie. We do multi-layered cookies, and it goes with the messaging of what's on the inside matters most. So you look at a cookie, it looks like a peanut butter cookie. It's a peanut butter dough. And then you break it open and there's a chocolate dough in the middle and a hot fudge center. So we have these 3-layer cookies that go right along with our messaging. So people that like, you know, half inch of frosting are more likely to like a Crumbl cookie. People that like more of a traditional cookie or a stuffed cookie, that's where we differentiate ourselves. And then apart from that, we do have more specialty cookies. So we do cookie shakes as well. We do protein cookies. There's a cookie with 25 grams of protein. That's absolutely amazing. We have a gluten-friendly option. We're about to release, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this, I'm going to get in trouble, but a caffeine cookie, a coffee flavored, but has like 70 milligrams of caffeine. So we could do a little bit more of these, you know, unique value propositions for the customers, because it's a lot easier to produce a caffeine cookie for nationwide in one facility than it is in, you know, 900 little bakeries.
And I love the fact that you're putting in your story and the mental health mission into the cookie. Like, that is super, super cool. Like, now I'm getting emotionally attached to the cookie, whether I like it or not. That's very, very cool. And the other thing, like you said, it's really about simplifying the opportunity for people to buy into a franchise and to run their store and to do it in the right way that it can be more profitable, right? Yeah. Coming in. So your customer is that human being, which I love, because, you know, we're in from a financial perspective, we are in, you know, the highest credit card environment with credit card debt that we've ever been in. And I believe we need to upgrade our income. So many times we feel like we spend too much, but I don't believe most of us don't have a spending problem. We have an income producing, an income earning issue. And I'm always loving to connect. And that's why Randy wanted us to get connected together, because I believe that what you offer, you know, entrepreneurs to be able to open up their, you know, the template of the store, and we have everything. You just have to plug and play, and you get to start making some real income and live on your own terms and have some simplicity in your life so you can actually be mentally healthy. Is really, really important. So, tell me where people, if people are here and listening and they want to open up a franchise, how do they find Bennett?
Dirtydough.com, specific on the franchising, and you can find more information on franchising. But myself, I'm bennettmaxwell.com, and that's links to all my social media. And I try to post once a day, try to put out something of value, hopefully, but links to, you know, all of the social medias there.
Right. And remember, like income, having enough income is the engine to what my message is teaching people how to live wealthy, W-E-L-L-T-H-Y. It's the mental health, having a well life with how you think and how you emote, and having enough money in your life to support that. And that's what's really important, is that you need the money, you need the income. In order to live a wealthy life, you need enough income coming in.
Yep.
And then once you have enough income coming in, you need to understand how to get more out of that income by minimizing your taxes. And being a business owner, you have the opportunity to gain more income and to get more out of your income with all the tax deductions. It's such a beautiful opportunity that you are offering others. And so I'm not shocked at all with the amount of growth that you've had, Bennett, because of the value proposition that you're offering future franchise owners. Mm-hmm. Such a big thing. So let's end with this. What is Bennett's own unique version where he has become enough financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of the above, one of the above? Like, how did you know when you arrived at your own version of enough?
I don't know if I've arrived there yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to arrive there. And I think I'm a lot closer than I ever have been. And the biggest, I guess, step in getting closer to that was defining what enough was. Because before, enough was $1 million net worth. And then you're like, wait, that doesn't really bring that much satisfaction. Like you get a dopamine hit, feels good, and then it kind of goes away. So it was changing the target, I guess, to being, again, back to the mission statement, joy and fulfillment despite life's dirtiness. Like, I don't want to wait till I sell dirty dough and then say I'm going to be happier then, or I'm going to start going to the gym then, or this and that. It's, I want to be with my kids every day. And I do daddy-daughter dates with my two daughters. Literally every day we do something, and we just know we're doing it. And we travel a decent amount. And I'm down 100 pounds from last year, because it was like, I'm not going to wait. Again, before it was like, once I have $1 million, then I could spend time on all this. But it was like, no, I just need to start doing it now. So I don't think I'm there yet, but I think that setting the right target of knowing what I want, which is the joy and the fulfillment, and not, I guess, stripping away the finances from it and going straight to the emotion of what I want to feel, has brought me a lot closer.
So if I heard you correctly, it's about being enough in the journey too.
Yes. I think it's all about the journey, and not so often it's all about the goal setting, you know, the kind of the type IA personality. It's like goal, goal, goal. And I feel great accomplishing goals. But you just keep setting goals and you don't ever enjoy them.
That's so true. And be aware of what you're chasing, because what we think, if it's $1 million, 10 million, 100 million, that's some of the things that what's made up in our mind. But we want to chase money, but we want to chase money in the right way, which is chasing the right type of time that we have to give back in our life, so we can be a supportive dad and be a supportive husband and a wife and, you know, a community member and a business owner, all the things. So thank you, Bennett. It was a pleasure to have you on the Live Wealthy Show today. And I'm hoping that we can reach more people to earn more money and to become a franchise of Dirty Dough.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thank you.